Okay, so we are in Joshua 15. Somebody read verse 1.
Allotment for the tribe of Judah, clan by clan, extended down to the territory of Edom, to the desert of Zin in the extreme south.
Okay. And verse 2, somebody.
The southern boundary started from the bay at the southern end of the Salt Sea.
Okay. It goes out southward of the ascent of Akrabim, passes along to Zin, and goes up south of Kadesh Barnea, along by Hezron up to Adar, turns about to Karka. Somebody read verse 4.
Passes along to Asmon, goes out by the brook of Egypt, and comes to its end at the sea. This shall be your southern boundary.
Okay. And verse 5.
Anybody? The eastern boundary is the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan. The northern boundary started from the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan.
Okay. And the boundary goes up to Beth Hogla and passes along north of Beth Araba. And the boundary goes up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the boundary goes up to Debir from the valley of Achor, and so northward, turning toward Gilgal, which is opposite the ascent of Adumim, which is on the south side of the valley. And the boundary passes along to the waters of En Shemesh and ends at En Rogel. That's why you got Bible maps in different places, because you need somebody with some expertise to figure out what all these names mean. Then the boundary goes up by the valley of the son of Hinnom at the southern shoulder of the Jebusite, that is Jerusalem. And the boundary goes up to the top of the mountain that lies over against the valley of Hinnom on the west, at the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. Then the boundary extends from the top of the mountain to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah, and from there to the cities of Mount Ephron. Then the boundary bends around to Bala, that is Kiriath Jearim. And the boundary circles west of Bala to Mount Seir, passes along to the northern shoulder of Mount Jearim, that is Chesalon, and goes down to Beth Shemesh and passes along by Timnah. Then the boundary goes out to the shoulder of the hill north of Ekron. Then the boundary bends around to Shikaron and passes along to Mount Bala and goes out to Jabneel. Then the boundary comes to an end at the sea. And somebody read verse 12.
And the west boundary was the great sea, this coastline, the sea of the boundary around the people of Judah according to their
land. Okay. So, first part is just these are the boundaries. We've got something actually which happens in the next paragraph. So, we'll slow down a little bit for that. According to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the people of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. Somebody else can do 15.
From there, charged against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer.
Mm-hmm. And Caleb said, whoever strikes Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him will I give Achsa, my daughter, as wife. Okay. 17.
Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it, so Caleb gave his daughter to him in marriage.
Okay. So who is Othniel? Does anybody remember the name Othniel from a little bit later on?
It's familiar.
Yes, it is familiar. Start turning pages.
Judges.
Oh, he was a judge of Israel.
Judges chapter 2, the death of Joshua, then Israel's unfaithfulness. Lord raises up judges. Chapter 3, verse 8, after they were unfaithful, Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, oppressed them for 8 years. And the people cried out to the Lord, and the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel. Judges 3, verse 9.
When they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them.
Okay. And we keep on going, and God gives deliverance, verse 10. Verse 11.
So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died.
Okay. So now we have 40 years of peace extending to the end of Othniel's life. We had the battle to free Israel. We had 8 years that they served Cushan-Rishathaim. Yes, have to memorize that because it's got this rhythm to it. And this happens after Joshua dies and the people are unfaithful. So how many years from the conquering of the territory of Judah and Othniel claiming an inheritance there until the people of Israel are unfaithful? Well, Othniel had to have been, in his 20s at least. He was a leader of men conquering this territory. And then span of time, Joshua dies, span of time, Israel's unfaithful. And then Othniel's still got 40 years left in his life. That's pretty quick for the nation to turn away. That's very short time, and the linkage between the two books is pretty tight. So that's the thing to notice from there. Where are we?
15.
15 verse what?
18.
18 now? Okay. Someone read verse 18.
When she came to him, she urged him to ask her father for a field. She got off her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want?
And so she goes to Othniel to be his wife. She comes back to her father to ask for something. And She gets off her donkey, which is a sign of, you know, dismounting, recognizing the person that you're greeting and their authority. And then she goes and asks her father for something. Or actually asks her father for something. Verse 19.
She replied, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs.
And we're not told exactly where that is, but we are talking water rights here. And, you know, from back in June, we learned a little something about water rights, didn't we? Went out to Idaho, visited family there. There's a little spring on their property. They have water rights to that spring, which means they can build a sluice gate and open the gate and water their garden and close it back up. They don't have rights to all of it in particular, but they have rights to tap that spring for their use. Without that spring, they wouldn't be having a garden. Verse 20 then.
This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Judah according to their clans.
Okay, here we go. The cities belonging to the tribe of the people of Judah in the extreme south toward the boundary of Edom were Kabzeel, Eder, Jager, Kina, Dimona, Adada, Kedesh, Hazor, Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, Baaloth, Hazar Hadatha, Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Amam, Shema, Modala, Hazar Gada, Heshman, Beth Pelet, Hazor Shual, Beersheba, Biziothaya, Baala, Eam, Ezem, Eltolad, Chizil, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, there was a cave there, Sansana, Lebeoth, Shilhim, Ain, and Rimmon, in all 29 cities with their villages. And in the lowland, Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zanoa, Enganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soko, Azekah, Sharaim, Adithaim, Gedera, Gederothaim, 14 cities with their villages. Zenan, Hadasha, Migdal Gad, Dilian, Mizpah, Joktiel, Lakish, Bozkath, Eglon, Kaban, Lamam, Kitlish, Gedaroth, Bethdagon, Nema, Makeda, 16 cities with their villages. Verse 42, Libna, Ether, Ashan, Iftah, Ashna, Nezib, Kela, Akzib, and Marashah, 9 cities with their villages. Ekron with its towns and its villages. Someone read verse 46.
From Ekron to the sea, all that were by the side of Ashdod with their villages.
And somebody read verse 47.
Ashdod, its surrounding settlements and villages, and Gaza, its settlements and villages, as far as the Wadi of Egypt and the coastline of the Great Sea.
Mm-hmm. And in the hill country, Shamir, Jatir, Soko, Dana, Kiriath Sana, that is Debir, Anab, Eshtemo, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo, 11 cities with their villages. Arab, Duma, Eshan, Janim, Beth-Tapua, Afika, Humta, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, 9 cities with their villages. Man, Carmel, Ziph, Judah, Jezreel, Jokdiam, Zanoa, Cain, Gibeah, and Timna, 10 cities with their villages. Halhol, Bethzur, Gedor, Marath, Bethanot, and Eltekon, 6 cities with their villages. Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages. In the wilderness, Beth Araba, Midin, Sekakah, Nibshan, the city of salt, and En Gedi, 6 cities with their villages. And somebody read verse 63.
Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. To this day, the Jebusites live there with the people of Judah.
Mm-hmm. And that is to this day, that is the end of the life of whoever the historian is, which is within the lifetime of Rahab of Jericho. Let's go on to another chapter. Chapter 16. Someone read verse 1.
The allotment of the people of Joseph went from the Jordan by Jericho, east of the waters of Jericho, into the wilderness, going up from Jericho into the hill country to Bethel.
Okay. And this being the allotment for Joseph would be both of the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. It'll be subdivided later on, very shortly. Then going from Bethel to Luz, it passes along to Ataroth, the territory of the Archites. Then it goes down westward to the territory of the Japhletites, as far as the territory of lower Beth Horon, then to Gezer, and it ends at the sea. Verse 4.
So Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants of Joseph, received their inheritance.
Mm-hmm. The territory of the people of Ephraim by their clans was as follows. The boundary of their inheritance on the east was Ataroth Adar, as far as upper Beth Horon, and the boundary goes from there to the sea. On the north is Michmethath. Then on the east, the boundary turns toward Tanath Shiloh, and passes along beyond it on the east to Genoa. Then it goes down from Genoa to Ataroth and to Naara and touches Jericho, ending at the Jordan. From Tapua, the boundary goes westward to the brook Kana and ends at the sea. Such is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Ephraim by their clans. Someone read verse 9.
Together with the towns that were set apart for the people of Ephraim within the inheritance of the Nezahites, all those towns would be villages.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody else read verse 10.
They did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Gezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So chapter 16. Oh, that was 17. A short chapter. Okay. Chapter 17. Then allotment was made to the people of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. To Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, were allotted Gilead and Bashan, because he was a man of war. And allotments were made to the rest of the people of Manasseh by their clans, Abiezer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Hefer, and Shemida. These were the male descendants of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their clans. Now, Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Verse 4.
Therefore, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the leaders, and said, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance along with our brothers. So according to the mouth of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brothers of their father. Mm-hmm.
So, because their father had no sons, they received an inheritance. So that his name would not disappear. Okay, verse 5.
Manasseh's share consisted of 10 tracts of land besides Gilead and Bashan, east of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm. And verse 6.
Because the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons, the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. Mm-hmm.
The territory of Manasseh reached from Asher to Michmethath, which is east of Shechem. Then the boundary goes along southward to the inhabitants of En-Tappuah. The land of Tappuah belonged to Manasseh, but the town of Tappuah on the boundary of Manasseh belonged to the people of Ephraim. Then the boundary went down to the brook Kana. These cities to the south of the brook among the cities of Manasseh belonged to Ephraim. Then the boundary of Manasseh goes on the north side of the brook and ends at the sea. Someone can read verse 10.
The land to the south being Ephraim's, and that to the north being Manasseh's, with the sea forming its boundary. On the north, Ephraim is reached, and on the east, Isaac.
Okay. Also in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh had Beth Shean and its villages, and Ibleam and its villages, and the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, and the inhabitants of Endor and its villages, and the inhabitants of Tanakh and its villages, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. The third is Naphath. Somebody can read verse 12.
Yet the Manassites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region.
Mm-hmm. Now when the people of Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Verse 14.
Then the people of Joshua and Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, why have you given me but one lot and one portion as an inheritance, although I am a numerous people, since all along the Lord has blessed me?
And Joshua said to them, if you are a numerous people, go up by yourselves to the forest and there clear ground for yourselves. in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you. Verse 16.
The people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots, both those in Bethshan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel."
Mm-hmm. And the valley of Jezreel is a very broad valley and very fertile ground. Then Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are a numerous people and of great power. You shall not have one allotment only." Verse 18.
"But the hill country shall be yours, for though it is a forest, you shall clear it and possess it to its farthest borders. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron and though they are strong."
Okay. So now we've done Judah and the half tribes of Joseph. And that's a lot of information on that, right?
Mm-hmm. It amazes me that they kept track of all those names.
Yep. And that's what the historian's for. And also, in those days, you would have people, the professional rememberers, who could hear it once and recite the entire contract. Yeah. And if you think, well, the contract on my house I got from the bank, and it's really long and really detailed. No, they could recite that whole thing from memory. Okay. "Then the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The land lay subdued before them." That's for right then. Verse 2.
"But there were still seven Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance."
Ah. Okay. "So Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?'" Yeah. Verse 4.
"Provide three men from each tribe, and I will send them out that they may set out and go up and down the land. They shall write a description of it with a view to their inheritances, and then come to me."
Okay. So the description of the land that's still to come is going to be much more incomplete, imprecise than all of those cities of Judah, their territory. Because if you haven't been into the territory yet, how do you know how to describe the boundaries and the towns and everything else that's there? So they all end up being a whole lot shorter. Verse 5, "They shall divide it into seven portions. Judah shall continue in his territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall continue in their territory on the north." Verse 6,
"After you have written descriptions of the seven parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God."
Mm-hmm. "The Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance, is their heritage. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan eastward, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them." Verse 8.
"As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, 'Go and make a survey of the land and write a description of it. Then return to me, and I will cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord.'"
Okay. So the rest of the land is to be divided up into seven allotments. Implied is kind of that it's equal-ish in size. And, you know, it can be assigned by lot. So the men went and passed up and down in the land and wrote in a book a description of it by towns in seven divisions. Then they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh, verse 10.
And Joshua then cast lots for them in Shiloh in the presence of the Lord. And there he distributed the land to the Israelites according to their tribal divisions.
Okay. So we will have, from this point, Benjamin, Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, Dan. Okay.
I have a question. How did they sort out all this? They didn't have surveyors and how did they, just by saying this tree or this water, or how did they, this is a lot of territory that they're marking out. I mean, that a lot, you know, due to different tribes, but to me, how would they know from one area to the other area exactly that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, back under Moses, the general boundary had been established. And you might remember that long description of the northern, eastern, and southern boundaries of the entire inheritance. So it was assigned to, and these are survey crews. And they are to go and divide up the rest of what has not already been assigned. And there may be some horse trading going on, but you know, you leave it to this team of, what is it, 21, three from each of the remaining tribes to sort out how the divisions are going to be made. And none of them knows which allotment is going to go to their tribe. So that's kind of like the parenting trick when you got two kids to divide up a treat, you know, the parenting trick. One cuts, the other picks. And that way, the one that cuts was real careful to make it even. So that's a good reason why the actual assignment would come after the surveying. Shall we go into it? Verse 11.
The lot of the tribe of the people of Benjamin, according to his plans, came up, and the territory allotted to it fell between the people of Judah and the people of Joseph.
Oh, okay. The territory fell between. And the north side, their boundary began at the Jordan, then the boundary goes up to the shoulder north of Jericho, then up through the hill country westward, and it ends at the wilderness of Beth Aven. Okay. From there, the boundary passes along southward in the direction of Luz to the shoulder of Luz, that is Bethel. Then the boundary goes down to Etaroth Adar on the mountain that lies south of lower Beth Horon. Then the boundary goes in another direction, turning on the western side southward from the mountain that lies to the south opposite Beth Horon, and it ends at Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, a city belonging to the people of Judah. This forms the western side. And the southern side begins at the outskirts of Kiriath Jearim, and the boundary goes from there to Ephron, to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah. Then the boundary goes down to the border of the mountain that overlooks the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is at the north end of the valley of Rephaim. And it then goes down the valley of Hinnom, south of the shoulder of the Jebusites, and downward to En-Rogel. Then it bends in a northerly direction, going on to En-Shemesh, and from there goes to Geliloth, which is opposite the ascent of Adumim. Then it goes down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passing on to the north of the shoulder of Beth Arabah, it goes down to the Arabah. Then the boundary passes on to the north of the shoulder of Beth Hogla, and the boundary ends at the northern bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This is the southern border. Okay, verse 20.
The Jordan formed the boundary on the eastern side. These were the boundaries that marked out the inheritance of the clans of Benjamin on all sides.
Mm-hmm. Now the cities of the tribe of the people of Benjamin, according to their clans, were Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Kaziz, Beth Arabah, Zemarayim, Bethel, Avim, Para, Ophrah, Kephar Ammoni, Ophni, Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephirah, Moza, Rechem, Irpil, Tarala, Zela, Haleph, Jebus, that is Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kiriath Jearim, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the people of Benjamin according to its clans. And as many difficult names as there were in that, there is nothing to compare with what we read with the tribe of Judah. So ends chapter 18. Chapter 19. The second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the people of Simeon, according to their clans. And their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the people of Judah. I should have had somebody else read that, because, and they had for their inheritance Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar, Shual, Bala, Ezem, Eltolad, Bethel, Horma, Ziklag, Beth Markavoth, Hazar Shua, Beth Lebaoth, and Sharuhen, 13 cities with their villages, Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Ashen, 4 cities with their villages, together with all the villages around these cities as far as Baalath Bir Ramah of the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Simeon according to their clans. Somebody else, verse 9.
The inheritance of the people of Simeon formed part of the territory of the people of Judah, because the portion of the people of Judah is too large for them. The people of Simeon obtained an inheritance in the midst of their inheritance.
Okay. So later on with the division of the kingdom, it is commonly said that there was the kingdom of Judah, and then there were the northern tribes. Well, then it's not exactly, is it? It's the kingdom of Judah and Simeon. And then there were the northern tribes. And that doesn't take into account the people from Benjamin that affiliated with the southern kingdom. And then there's more and more details. But verse 10.
The third lot came up for Zebulun, clan by clan. The boundary of their inheritance went as far as Sarid. Sarid?
Yeah, whatever is, you know, however. Mm-hmm. Then their boundary goes up westward and on to Mariel and touches Debesheth. Then the brook that is east of Jokneam. From Sarid, it goes in the other direction, eastward toward the sunrise to the boundary of Kisloth Tabor. From there, it goes to Dabarath, then to up to Japhia. From there, it passes along the east toward the sunrise to Gath Hefer, to Eth Kazin, and going on to Rimmon, it bends toward Nea. Then on the north, the boundary turns about to Hanathon, and it ends at the valley of Iftahel, and Katath, Nahalal, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. Now, when you hear Bethlehem mentioned, there was a northern Bethlehem. And there was a southern Bethlehem near Jerusalem. And there have been some wanting to make a name for themselves and question some of the most basic things in our Bible, who have suggested that Jesus was born in northern Bethlehem. There is not a spot of evidence to support that. But people got to make a name. Anyway, someone can read verse 16.
These towns and their villages were the inheritance of Zebulun clan by clan.
Okay. Next one, verse 17.
Four flock came out for Issachar, for the people of Issachar, according to their plans.
Their territory included Jezreel, Kesuloth, Shunem, Hapharaim, Shion, Anaharath, Rabbath, Kishion, Ebez, Remeth, Enganim, Enhadah, Bethpazez. Who decided that a good name for their town would be Bethpazez? Some of these towns, people made up the names just because they like to make the sound, I'm guessing. Ran across a village in South Africa that was exactly like that. The boundary also touches Tabor, Shahazuma, and Beth Shemesh, and its boundary ends at the Jordan. 16 cities with their villages. Verse 23.
This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Issachar, according to their clans, the cities with the villages.
Okay. On to Asher. Somebody read verse 24.
The fifth lot came out for the tribe of Asher, clan by clan.
Okay. Their territory included Helkath, Hali, Betan, Akshaf, Alamelech, Ahmad, and Mishal. On the west, it touches Carmel and Shihor Libnath. Then it turns eastward. It goes to Beth Dagon and touches Zebulun and the valley of Iftahel, northward to Beth Emek and Neil. Then it continues in the north to Kabul, Ebron, Rehob, Haman, Kana, as far as Sidon the Great. Then that would be the city of Sidon. Then the boundary turns to Ramah, reaching to the fortified city of Tyre. Then the boundary turns to Hosah, and it ends at the sea. Mahalab, Achzib, Ummah, Aphek, and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages. And verse 31.
These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Asher, clan by clan.
Okay. And notice their territory is very much in the north, off by the sea. And that is talked about elsewhere in the Bible. Northward and by the sea. So they're butting up against foreign nations. Going on, verse 32.
The sixth lot came out for the people of Naphtali, for the people of Naphtali, according to their clans.
And their boundary ran from Heleph, from the oak of Zananim, and Adami Nekeb, and Jabneel, as far as Lakum, and it ended at the Jordan. Then the boundary turns westward to Asnoth Tabor and goes from there to Hukok, touching Zebulun at the south and Asher on the west and Judah on the east at the Jordan. The fortified cities are Zidim, Zer, Hamath, Rakath, Kinnereth, Adama, Ramath, Rama, Hazor, Kadesh, Edrei, En Hazor, Yiran, Migdal El, Horam, Beth Anath, and Beth Shemesh. 19 cities with their villages. Verse 39.
These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the tribe of Naphtali, clan by clan.
Okay. We got one more tribe to do. Verse 40.
The seventh lot came out for the tribe of the people of Dan according to their clans.
And the territory of its inheritance included Zorah, Eshtaol, Irshemesh, Shalabin, Aijalon, Ithla, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Eltekeh, Gibbethon, Baalath, Jehud, Beneberak, Gethrimon, and Mejakon, and Rakon, with the territory over against Joppa. Verse 47.
But the Danites had difficulty taking possession of their territory, so they went up and attacked Leshem, took it, put it to the sword, and occupied it. They settled in Leshem and named it Dan after their forefather.
This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Dan according to their clans, these cities with their villages. Okay. So all I can say about this is find a good map of the 12 tribes. And that visual will be much easier than what we just went through. And we go on. What about Joshua? Verse 49.
When they had finished distributing the several territories of the land as inheritances, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun.
Okay. By command of the Lord, they gave him the city that he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. And he rebuilt the city and settled in it. 51.
These are the territories of Eleazar, the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel assigned by Lot at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so they finished dividing the land.
Okay. So they divided the land before conquering it fully. These were the designated spots where each of the 12 tribes was supposed to go in and carve out their territory for themselves. And there is one more chapter that we can kind of squeeze in today. And that's about the cities of refuge. Then the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2,
say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses.
And you remember what that was about. That the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. Verse 4.
When he flees to one of these cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state his case before the elders of that city.
Mm-hmm.
Then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them.
Okay. So the elders of the city are your jury. And they're to listen to his side and begin to figure out whether to admit him. But if you remember back when this was first beginning to be set up by God, the person who was guilty of murder was not to be admitted. Only the innocent. So, verse 5, and if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. Verse 6.
And he shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at the time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town, own home, to the town from which he fled.
Okay. And that sets up a place of refuge, a time of refuge. And when the high priest that's in office, when he fled there, dies, then all of the having to run away is expunged and he can return. That requires the avenger of blood, which would be next of kin or someone hired by next of kin, would require the avenger of blood to recognize this setup and to drop the pursuit. And that is something that seems to have been reasonably well kept in ancient times. You got to have a limit for these things. Verse 7, so they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. And beyond the Jordan east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness on the tableland from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. Verse 9.
Any of the Israelites or any alien living among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly.
Okay. What was that? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, six chapters. a lot of borders and city names. Chapter 21 takes on the territory set aside for the Levites. 22, the eastern tribes return home and the altar of witness. 23, Joshua's charge to Israel's leaders. And 24, the covenant and Joshua's farewell. Now that's four chapters left in the book of Joshua. And immediately after that, we will go directly to the book of Judges.